Let's begin with a word of prayer as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive what God has for us to see this day. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day in which we remember and we celebrate and we're thankful. We're thankful to you and we're thankfully for your Son who you sent to do what he did that only he could do. That he would go to the cross and die for all our sins, but not stay in the grave. And so this day, we recognize and celebrate and remember when Jesus came forth from the grave. He rose again, and so he's alive, and he's a living Savior and Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, for being our risen Savior. And we thank you for people that gather on this day. We pray for those who are not regular churchgoers. Pray that there will be a message given this day that will touch their hearts and encourage them to give their life to Jesus. And so we pray that many will be saved this day. And so we thank you for people who have come here this day to go through the Psalms with me, some of the Psalms, and I just pray that the Psalms can speak to us as well, speak into our lives, encourage us, and help us to dig deeper into your Word. So we thank you for what you have provided to us. Help us to be drawn closer, ever closer to you and your will in our lives as we live out our lives on this earth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bibles open, most all of you should have a copy of the handout. And for those that haven't been with us, I tried to give you one. It's on the back page of this topic five. I call it topic five. Lines up with this up here. I've grouped together in this topic Job. We worked our way through Job before we started on the Psalms now. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. So we still got some work to do just on this this particular topic, topic five. And then we've got more work to do primarily in the Old Testament with the prophets, with the other things, and even talking about, we're going to talk about in one of the topics, the silent age, what some call the silent period, from the time of the writing of Malachi at the end of the Old Testament until the New Testament, till the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that some call it the silent period, but really it wasn't that silent if you follow the history, the biblical history. So we have more work to do. I hope I live long enough to get through this. So that's probably the thing I'm most concerned about right now, to be able to finish this teaching. But maybe God will provide for my health too and keep me going. So it gives me purpose and meaning. I guess it's one of the things that I think about a lot after retirement and so forth. What is my purpose? What's my purpose here now? And I believe God has given me a purpose, and I love the opportunity to be able to teach and continue to study the Word myself and then pass on what I see. So that's what we're doing. So have your Bibles open, if you will, to Psalm 60. And I am on this section going to read. I have skipped some verses just for time's sake. But I encourage you on your own to make a regular reading through the Psalms. And this is an opportunity as we're concentrating on this right now. And reflect upon it. I probably won't talk a whole lot about what I read about, but I do want you to follow the reading, and if there are questions or comments you want to make, don't be afraid to bring them up in some of the Psalms. Now, the ones we're going to be dealing with today are a selection from the Psalms of David, King David. In fact, I think I said on this outline on the back of the page that David accounts for 18 of these 31 Psalms in Book 2. Again, by way of those that haven't been here, Psalms is a book of the Bible that is divided into five parts, often called books. Book 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We already covered Book 1, which are first 41 Psalms, and I often, this is just me, and others have mentioned it too. I like to look at these five books of Psalms, similar, not exactly, but in a way, like going back to the Torah, going back to the first five books of the Bible, going back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, where the Bible lays out, God lays out for us a lot of the history and the original plan of God and so forth. But we get more insight, let me put it that way, also from the other books of the Bible. And the book of Psalms is poetic in a lot of ways. So if you like poetry, you hopefully should like the Psalms and maybe encourage you to read through them more. But we're gonna get through what we can here today, and glad to have the opportunity to share this with you. So, anyway, this book two, Psalm 42 to 72, those 31 Psalms, I have kind of compared it, not in actuality, but compared it to the book of Exodus, the second book, which is the book of deliverance. Genesis was creation and the human frailty, all the things that went wrong after God's creation. And so Genesis and Exodus, and we're on the second book, which is Exodus. Then we'll look forward to the next one, which is book three, and that's similar to Leviticus, and I call it the sanctuary book. And book four is the longest, not the longest in number of Psalms, but it has the longest psalm in it, which is called the Reign of God, and comparing it to the books of Numbers. And book five is Deuteronomy, compared to Deuteronomy, the Word of God, and concludes the psalm. So that's our current challenge. And then we'll hopefully get through that in a few weeks, as best I can move through it. All right, so let's get right into it, so you have a little taste for what we're trying to do. Now, I'm going to read the totality of these psalms. Some of them aren't very long, and others, if we get far enough into the psalms, are longer than others. When we get down here to Psalm 69, may not make it today, but there's 34 verses in that psalm. So most of the others are limited in number of verses. So reading Psalm 60. Now, this is a psalm that David wrote. And I don't know if your Bibles have a little account of this at the beginning of the psalm. And I'll just read what mine has and see if it's similar to what you may have. It's dedicated or directed towards the director of music. So a lot of the psalms can be set to music, and that's an important point. You know, I mentioned to the group over the last couple weeks as we go through these psalms, in the middle of some of these psalms, and there are two pauses, I believe, in this, or just one pause in the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, is in the right margin, and basically it just causes us, as we read it or sing it or whatever we do with these psalms, to take a moment and reflect, take a pause, and reflect upon what's just been presented before we move on. And so I'm going to bring that up every time we come across that word in the psalm. Now, this was a musical. It's for the director of music. It was a tune of, at least my headline says, the tune of the Lily of the Covenant. And I'm not familiar with that. I don't know if anybody else is or not, that particular musical account. But that's what it compares it to, or reflects upon. It's one of David's teachings. And it was, the time frame of it was when he fought with Aram, Naharam, and Aram, Zobah, and when Joab returned and struck down 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. That's the background to this psalm. But David wrote this psalm, and we have it today, and we can reflect upon it for our purposes as well. So let me read verse 1. You have rejected us, O God, and burst forth upon us. You have been angry, now restore us. So what was going on? He was in the middle of a battle. He had having a difficult time. And so he was really kind of making a plea to God, basically, where are you, God? And I don't know about you, but I think sometimes probably in all of our lives and times, our struggles, where it isn't going too good. Things are happening that are kind of out of control. We don't really have control over things ourselves. And we might come to that point of desperation in our own lives. Where are you, God? Have you rejected us? And so that's what David is asking. Now restore us. I'm asking for God to restore us to under his will. You have shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures, for it is shaking. You have shown your people desperate times. That's part of God's work to get our attention. To bring us back to his will and what he's wanting and desiring of us. So he was doing that for David back then with the battles he was going through and so forth. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. But for those who fear you, an important concept, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. And then that word, Selah. So at this point, as if it's a new musical number or a song, turning it into a song, there's a pause of reflection. And so every time that Selah shows up in the reading of the Psalms, it's a good thing to say, let me just pause a minute. What did that just say? What's coming next? Let's go on, verse 5. And this is his plea. Save us and help us with your right hand, strong hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. And we know God was not in his sanctuary on earth, but he's on the throne of heaven. And so, God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem. And these are locations in the northern part of Israel. The original, well, the kingdom that was divided between the north and the south, and the northern part was called Israel, and the southern part was called Judah. But in the days of David, it was a combined empire when David was king. And so it had not broken apart yet. But these particular locations are locations that are should be recognizable. If you go to a map, you'll see where Shechem is. And measure off the valley of Succoth. That's up in the same region. And then you have Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Now, if you look on a map, follow the Jordan River down, you'll find part of Manasseh on the west side, the west side of the Jordan River, and part of Manasseh on the right, or the east side of the Jordan River. So some of these locations are in that particular area. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah, my scepter. Ephraim was the main tribe of the northern kingdom when they do split apart, and Ephraim becomes Israel, or the capital of Israel, and Judah becomes the capital of Judah, the southern kingdom. And so it's already preparing for that. And then you have in verse 8, you have Moab, which is across the Jordan River, in the land of their enemies, Moab. Moab, of course, is the location from which Ruth came. You know, so there's other biblical accounts of things happening in Moab. Moab is my wash basin. Upon Edom, which is also down in that same region, I toss my sandal, and over Philistia. Now, Philistia should be familiar to you. It's down near where the Gaza Strip is. And so when you hear on the news modern issues, so much of this conflict is still dealing with the Palestinians and the Gaza people and the division, not God's division for things, but what man has tried to do with those things. But Philistia was the location of many of the enemies of Israel, and who were in battle with them. So you have that. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, you who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. That's a proven truth, right? With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. So that's David's psalm in the heat of his conflicts and battles. And so he was sharing that not only with the Lord, but also with his people. Psalm 61. This also is called for the director of music. So generally it's thought that this would be set to music of some kind with stringed instruments. And it's a Psalm of David again. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. And that's what it is. David pleading with the Lord. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. Where are you, Lord? I'm calling to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Safety. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever, and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. And again, we have that phrase, or that word, Selah. In other words, pause, reflect upon it. Spend a little time. Sing, if you're singing this, pause. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, asking for his own well-being. His years for many generations. He's really asking for a longer life. His life has been in danger and continues to be. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Now, I believe that's eternal thinking. I believe he was pleading to God, and God would show him through his word that there is a role for David beyond this life. And we can see it when we get to the eternal kingdom, or to the millennial kingdom, particularly in Ezekiel. We'll see that there's a promise that David will serve in the kingdom of Jesus when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns on earth. And so that's increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then will I ever sing praise to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. So he's longing for the blessing of God and singing or saying these words as to honor God. Psalm 62. Moving on. My soul finds rest in God alone. That's a pretty good start in your thinking. Anytime you're struggling with something, where does your help come from? Where do you get your rest from? My soul, your inner being, that eternal nature within inside you, needs to rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. And we know, because we celebrate today, on this day, that God has brought our salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to realize in the importance of this day. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. As long as God is on your side, God is, God's will is being followed, you will be under the provision of God's will. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, his leaning wall, his tottering fence? You can see how he kind of bounces back and forth. He knows he's in troubled times, difficult times, and yet he's seeking God's favor. Verse 4, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. He's being besieged by the enemy. His life is threatened with all those things. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Selah. Again, a time of reflection on what's going on in his mind and in his heart. Verse 5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Now that's just a true statement. Where do we find our rest? It's in God alone. There's no earthly way to find it ourselves. I mean, yes, God can lead us and can use others to help us in the process. God alone, my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times. I emphasize the all times because, you know, when things don't go so well, we may start thinking, where are you, God? Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, For God is our refuge, Selah. Again, reflection. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, scales, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Let's go on. I want to get as far as I can this morning, so I'm going to read a little less comment probably, unless you have questions or comments yourself. Psalm 63 is another psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. O God, again, this is David proclaiming it. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you, my soul, my very inner being, who I am, thirst for you. My body, my exterior being, our bodies. I think you all probably realize that we're made up of three parts: body, soul, and spirit. The body is the natural, and we will leave these bodies when we die, or when Christ comes for us and we're changed, called the rapture. But yeah, this outer body is only temporary. The external is only temporary. But we have two parts within us, the soul and the spirit. And some want to kind of combine those two as the same thing, but I think there's a different, when you really understand Hebrew, I think you can understand the difference between the soul and the spirit. Because the spirit is the breath, is the giving life. How did man's life begin? God breathed into man, gave them life, and so they became a living being. And so the spirit is that breath. That's why we can't live without breath. You know, if you've ever experienced being at the bedside or whatever of a loved one, and if you happen to be there when that last breath is breathed, It's a daunting experience, but we know that the breath we have to have the breath in order to live on. But that's not the end of us. The breath is only the temporary that keeps us living in these bodies upon the earth. But we have a soul which is God-given. God-given is our internal nature, nature that lives on even after death, will continue to live. Now, we don't know exactly, we can debate a little bit the recognizability of what's going on after death, but we have an ongoing nature of death, after death. But the heart, you see, this, the heart is our belief system, and that's what's really important. Now, it's not the pump, not the beater, but we kind of call it by that. But the heart is that internal part of us that creates our belief system. Whether we come to believe and trust and put our faith and reliance upon God and His Word, and through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He then makes us one of His own. And through that process, we become right with God. And it's only through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His work. So that's what we recognize today on this special day. So somebody tell me where I left off.
We were just starting Psalm 63.
Psalm 63. I'm ready to go there. Thank you. I kind of lose track when I get to yapping. This is David again, Psalm. O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you. That's what I was trying to differentiate. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. Does everybody believe that? Is God's love better than anything this life can give us? Yeah. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands, my soul, that internal being, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, as I rest, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I know those of you that love music. It is such a soothing, wonderful thing. And I appreciate those that have the talent for singing and so forth and share that talent. So, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. The king, that's him, David. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. And I'm going to go one more reading, Psalm 64, and then we'll stop there, because I know some of you want to get together and pray before our time of worship. 64, again, the Psalm of David. Hear me, O God, as I voice my complaint. Protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from that noisy crowd of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim their words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent man. They shoot at him suddenly without fear. Just a second to, you know how difficult words spoken against us can have on us. You probably all have experienced it to some degree, whether it's somebody that you have a close relationship with, or just a stranger. You know, when somebody attacks you, and particularly attacks your faith, attacks your belief, it's a real challenge. But we should be prepared for it, know how to handle it. They encourage each other in evil plans. And it's pretty easy to see in our world, our culture today, how rampant the evil that's all being projected and carried out is happening. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares, their traps. They say, who will see them? They plot injustice. Remember the importance of justice and righteousness. That's God's way. Injustice is evil man's way. And so injustice, when we see injustice, they plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. We're going to do everything that we want to do and do it in our way. Surely the mind and the heart of man are cunning, but God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be struck down. He will turn their own tongues against them and bring them to ruin. All who see them will shake their heads in scorn. All mankind will fear. They will proclaim the works of God and ponder what he has done. Let the righteous rejoice in the Lord and take refuge in him. Let all the upright in heart praise him. And we'll stop there with that wonderful phrase. That's probably the, I know I don't do it enough, like I should, but every morning when you wake up, praise the Lord. Every night when you go to sleep, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, whether it's good things happening or bad things happening. Because he's the way to making things right in our lives, and helping use us. He uses us then to help others in their lives. So, all right, I think I'm going to stop there on through 64. We'll pick up on 65 next week and probably move a little quicker, as best I can. Impossible, right?
No, yeah.
So, anyway, let's close with a word of prayer and prepare ourselves for a time of worship and just thank God for this day and what this day represents in each of our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come into this place, to be able to share your word, to read from Scripture, from the book of Psalms, and reflect upon them, and maybe challenge ourselves, challenge others to things that maybe we need to think about and do differently, and recognize what you are doing in each of our lives and with the people around us, and giving us the opportunities you give us, Lord, to give witness, to give a word of encouragement, a word of a blessing to those that need it in whatever is going on in their life at this time. So we thank you for the opportunities you give us. Help us not to miss any along the way. And Lord, I just thank you now for this time that we go into now, our time of worship. I pray for each part of our worship service. I thank you for what has been prepared ahead of time that we will participate in this day. And I thank you for those who have prepared the message for this day. And I pray particularly for Raymond as he will give the message, but I pray for his health as well, Lord, that you keep his dizziness from being under control, and that he is well enough to give a message, Lord, that you will share, want him to share. And this is a blessed day for all of us to come into this place and worship with each other and share a meal with each other as we did this morning. We thank you for that meal. We thank you for the people who have come. We thank you for those who will be here for the worship service as well. We thank you for each part of our worship service. We pray for the prayers. We thank you for the prayers that will be lifted up. And we pray now, Lord, for those prayers that are being answered right now. We thank you for answering prayer. Help us to see and recognize those answers to prayer in our lives and for people around us. But we also pray for the music. We thank you for the music that's been practiced and prepared, and I just pray for the blessing upon the people who will lead it, and for all those who will be in church this day, and we can sing out, and we can sing with joy, and we can recognize what this day represents. And so I thank you for that, and I thank you for the word that will be shared, and once again, for Raymond's message that will speak to our hearts and encourage each one of us in our walk of faith as we leave this place this day. So we thank you for all that will come. We pray, Lord, if you're bringing visitors to our church this day, I just pray for a blessing on them particularly, and ask for the Holy Spirit to speak into their lives and into their hearts. We thank you ahead of time for what we're going to experience for the rest of this day, and just ask that you guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit. as we do what you call us to do and try to make a difference. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.